Hello and welcome to Gaming Times, your weekly video game podcast about
that gaming life.
I am one of your hosts, Isaac, and I'm joined by Patrick.
Hey, what's up? It's weird to be recording when you know the next thing to happen is the Super Bowl.
It is. Yeah, we had it's been a tough weekend, so we had to squeeze it in just before the Super Bowl. Who do you got, Patrick?
I'm going to go. I really do think it's a toss up, but I'm just going to take Captain Patrick Mahomes. I don't know why. Yes. I'm just going to take Patrick Mahomes. I'm not even confident when I say it, but that's who I would go with if I had to choose.
As a Bronco player, I'm actually a Bronco fan. I don't play for the Broncos. I'm also going to go with the Chiefs and Mr. Patrick Mahomes. I enjoy the way he plays. I think he has a good personality too. And Andrew, I like Andrew Reid too. I wish both of those people would be in Denver, and maybe we would be going to Super Bowls consistently. But
yeah, Andy's the truth.
At last, we'll not. Also, too, if you're going to pick a soccer team or a European football team, don't pick Tottenham. They're very ups and downs. They beat one of the best teams in the world last week, and then a couple days ago, they lost to one of the worst teams in the Premier League. So it was like a good and lost bad. They lost 4-1 in soccer. They got destroyed.
That reminds me, I was watching the two undefeated women's teams in college today, South Carolina and LSU, and South Carolina just beat the brakes off them. It was like a 20-point game in the end. Yeah, it was. I was like, okay, that wasn't what I thought was going to happen. I thought it'd be closer.
A little bit competitive.
Yeah, so it was rough. But
Patrick, this is not a podcast about sports. This is a podcast about video games. So for today at this show, we are going to be talking about Apex Legends and the character changes that they have, or kind of the whole redesign of pretty much the entire game, and then finishing up the show with the Nintendo Direct. But before we get to any of that, Patrick, what have you been playing?
I have been playing Apex.
Wait, can I guess real quick what you've been playing, Patrick?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm thinking, connecting to the metaverse. There's an app on my phone. Persona.
Are you still playing Persona? Man, that game is... I'm going to get there in a second. That game is the truth. But I have definitely been playing some Apex. I still like to mess around with that, get my tactics on. Getting some wins. I played their limited time mode, which there's a cool ability. It was so good. I wondered why it wasn't a legend ability, but maybe it'd be busted. But they have this thing now in the duos mode where when you're healing, there's like a ring around you of a certain distance. And if your teammates are in it, they get healed too.
Oh.
And so even if you're full health, like let's say you're at full health, but all your teammates are out of shield, you can pop a bat and it'll fully charge your teammates' shields. So you can each pop one thing at the same time and full heal.
Nice.
So like, like you could pop a med kit, I could pop a bat. By the time both are done, we're both full healed. And they've done some stuff with the bow check, which I don't know, man. Until I get 120 frames, like I'm just not on. I'm sorry. Like I don't like it. But that'll heal you, and it's like amped as well. So it was a pretty cool duos mode. I got a win in it.
Nice. Well, Patrick, we were going to talk about, Apex, but do you just want to talk about it right now since we're actually already talking about it?
I mean, we can jump into it and I'll come back to what the other stuff I've been playing. Sure.
Yeah. So, okay. So real quick with Apex Legends, it seems like they're going to have it's called Revivory, and it's launching on Valentine's Day, which is funny enough, but it seems like it's going to be a almost hard, maybe not hard, a soft reboot of the game. First, some of the reworks on the characters, they said comprehensive balancing and reworking are going to be kind of the five of the main legends. So you have Bloodhound, Wraith, Pathfinder, Mirage, and Lifeline. So they're going to get heavy reworks, it seems like. And then Horizon and Seer are also going to see some balancing reworks. So I think this is interesting because I wonder if they just find the game being boring or stale and trying to mix it up. I know we talked a lot about before, a lot of times when studios rebalance multiplayer games, like especially like this, it's for the pros and not really for your average player. But I just real quick, out of all those characters, can you think of one of those or what you would change for one of them? Because outside of maybe Lifeline, which wouldn't be a rework, you'd just be reverting back to what she was.
Right.
I don't really know what I would change with all of them.
I mean, there's definitely a lot of things I would change. If I'm reworking Apex, And I don't know if we're talking about for competitive nature or just in general. Lifeline, we've gone. I think we went over a lot last episode, but like everything that made Lifeline good has been removed. So I just don't. You know, there's the drop shield that went away. Like, and I'm still thinking of the old mentality when I talk about these things. But I would really, if anything, I would just love her quick heal back. Like, if we just want to be simple.
Yeah, just heal, like the passive, just healing a little bit faster,
healing
right?
quicker than everybody else. Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. I would love to see that.
Yeah, because we talked about this, like you said before, but I don't know if that's. I do like what I liked about the shield is obviously you could not get shot, but what I like about what it is now, because obviously when those briefly, like you could drop your little robot. Mm-hmm. And it had the shield and you can go fight still. I think they mm-hmm. briefly did that. I think that might be a little bit overpowered, but I can see when they're saying like, oh, we want her to be a battle mech. So it's like, oh, I'm going to drop my robot down to pick you up and then I can keep shooting. I like that idea. You know, it's not terrible. The shield was just so nice. Like I remember one time we were playing Patrick and I was Lifeline and I think we were playing with a rando and like I went to like go pick him up and then you just like came behind me with a shotgun and just destroyed this person who was trying to step through the shield.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, then you just like, yeah, like come with him, come get it. But
yeah, come on, get it. Yeah. and there's like multiple things like that I could think of, like just in my experience with playing the game. I could think of a couple legends that need to be reworked. I wish that Seer, much like Valkyrie, had a charge bar, so he couldn't just scan indefinitely.
Yeah,
that I think would be a great rework. I wish Octane couldn't just spam his speed boost indefinitely. I wish there was, like, could you imagine if Bangalore could just spam her smoke like he could his speed?
Yeah, well, I guess the offset for that, right, Patrick, should be that he's killing himself, right?
But it's not really punishing when you heal. They lowered the heal, because at one point it was, I think it was one full HP per second. Then I think they lowered it to 0.5 HP per second. But still, it's not like he's taking 25 damage to run you down.
Yeah.
And also, he cannot knock himself with that injection.
I think that'd be a little bit cruel if he added that in, right? Like, just you just weren't paying attention and you went to do it and you killed yourself.
Would it though? Because everybody, a lot of other people's stuff hurts themselves.
I mean, Bangalore's, though, and Gibby's airstrikes or mortar strikes. They don't injure you, right? They just
They will injure the thrower. Oh yes, they will.
Oh, I thought they just disoriented you. I thought that's your team.
Your teammates, and it will still disorient your teammates. Now it just won't hurt them.
Yeah,
because you cannot do nothing to them, but it will definitely hurt you. So will Gibby's ult. Now, granted, that's not his Q, but if you talk about Qs that hurt, Fuse's Q will hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
It'll absolutely hurt.
Yeah,
him.
If he runs
into it. Yeah, if he runs into it, it will absolutely knock you. It's not like, oh, whoops, you made a mistake and that door was too close. Nah, bro, you're going down. Like, there's just things like that I would change. But by the end of my changes, here's what I always say about gaming, right? I'm that dude where by the end of it, it would actually be balanced, but people would be upset. So there's a bunch of reworks that I would do. Like, Wraith would no longer be tiny, neither would Lifeline. Even if you got rid of Lifeline Shield, I would go back to the no delay animation when she drops her drone for res. I did not think this was a problem. I don't know where that even came from. Like, why is this a problem? Like, there's all types of stuff I would do. And the reason I say it's not a problem is because if the other team lights that player up, they die. Even if they're connected to the Lifeline, they still die.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like,
Go. I'm sorry. Sorry, Patrick.
You go ask your question. You're fine.
Well, yeah. Well, I was just going to ask, like, how easy do you think it is to balance a game, right? Or balance, like, I'd say a game. But, yeah, so, like, any game. Do you think there's any, like you said, you know, you said it'll be balanced for you, at least, or you said it'll be balanced, but people won't be upset. So is there something that you have to, you know, do you make, like, hard counters for people? Or is it like, hey, everybody's just kind of the same and it's more like the player? So something like Call of Duty. Well, with Call of Duty, right, like you have guns that are clearly broken sometimes. I guess it happens in Apex as
they
well.
They have to nerf them, yeah.
So Apex does. Has that additional complexity of, okay, now we have these characters or these legends with these abilities and how we're going to do that. I mean, even Overwatch has that where they keep like buffing and nerfing Mercy. And it's like little things like that where it's like, okay, and maybe too, because we just don't play competitively. And maybe that's, like you said, I think you're right too. Most of those balances come from the competitive side, probably because they have more direct feedback to the developer as well.
Oh, for sure.
But
for
it's sure. Like, yeah, like, okay, cool. Like to be at that 10th of, you know, of degree of people playing, that 1% of people playing this game, it's balanced for them, or maybe 10% of the people. It's like when you're like a sports team, you're like, okay, why do one sports team have five masseuses, or five people that give them massages, appropriate massages? It's like, well, maybe at that level, you know, having just a little twinge in your hand or a little twinge in your foot playing basketball can mean the difference between hitting that game-winning shot and missing that game-winning shot.
No, exactly. And again, when you start, okay. So first of all, I don't think it's quote-unquote easy to balance any game. I want to be fair to any dev, right? But when you start a game out, you have to start out with that in mind. There's a reason I actually did enjoy competitive Halo when I played it. You know what I never could complain about in competitive Halo? The character model. It was impossible because everybody has the same one. Yeah, you can change up your armor plate or whatever, but in the grand scheme, you got the same character model. And then you say, okay, and I know why some of this has occurred. We've talked about some of this off air before. But then you have like Recon Legends. To me, Seer is the epitome of, we don't want you to be able to hide. Because remember, there was a point in time, long before Evo Shields, where that was an actual legitimate way to play the game.
Yeah.
Was to hide.
Well, you could get away with it a lot. But, well, you can still kind of do it. Because, once again, you need someone with the team, with Seer. But even if you had a Pathfinder there, right? If someone had a Pathfinder and you were running for them. Oh, no. Thank you. Bloodhound. And you were running for them. They would still be able to hunt you down pretty easily with a Bloodhound.
Potentially, but they can't. They have to ping and then find you. So just because there's a ping, like let's say I ping and, you know, you're above me and it says there's an enemy found, but I don't see you. That doesn't mean I immediately know where you are.
Yeah, Seer, but wasn't the Bloodhound, I see what you're getting at, but wasn't Bloodhound too, wasn't there passive, like, seeing, like, footsteps or if someone opened the door or something? Wasn't that just
Yeah, but it wasn't nearly as clear. Like, you could see, like, the track of someone.
Yeah.
And how long ago you're looking at, and I think you could see it up to like 2 minutes.
Oh,
but you would have to like literally follow it, and there were things you couldn't follow. Like,
yeah,
there still are things you can't follow. Seer, on the other hand, if I look at a wall, I know something's there. Like, I'm looking at a wall. Like, it's like, oh, they're behind that wall.
The only time that doesn't really work is if it's not in your field of view. It usually won't show people behind you or something like that unless you spin around.
You're right. Or if it's beyond your vision bubble, because there is a limit to that range. But, and then I remember I was playing Seer one time and I felt so bad for the guy. But like I was running, we were running one dude down and I was at the front. And every time he tried to stop and heal, bro, I just bloom with the little Seer beam and he couldn't do anything. And
when they first released Seer too, that thing was broken, bro.
Yeah.
That thing was way too fast and you could spam it way too much.
Yeah. And then like every time he tried to stop and heal, I remember I ran it behind a truck on the new map. Boom, zap. So he knows I'm coming and I can see him. Then he got behind something else. He's trying to heal, zap. And then finally, I think after the third time, because we ran that dude down, he gave up. He was like, I quit. Like, these dudes, I'm not getting away. And so for me, I don't like, also, I heard they're talking about getting rid of Valkyrie's identifying of enemies when she flies over. That was one of the changes.
I don't think they should do that because that's sort of like legitimately her ultimate. The only other time you do that is when you drop or if you use a redeployment bubble.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. There are things that I think are great for the game because that's only a Valkyrie ability. And you avoid that if somebody uses a Valkyrie by standing inside. So if you're inside, there's nothing to see, right? But I'm like, every time I think something's good, they take it away. My assumption is because pro teams don't like it. So if I could actually write like a comprehensive list of what I would change, starting from character model sizes all the way down to abilities, the whole nine, what I would change. Cause like, you know, like I said, Seer can just look through walls all game, bro.
Mm-hmm.
But Valkyrie can't fly all game.
But yeah, that's a good point. You know what I mean? Yeah. And maybe
there's a lot of stuff I would do.
Yeah. I like Seer's ability. Once again, I'm not a pro, so obviously I'm not utilizing it that well. But I think it's still relatively balanced, you know, at least is my opinion. It gives, you know, it's relatively balanced where it's like, okay, you have to be ADSing, you know, down your sights. It's not just there. Luckily, it's not that yet there. That'd be way too powerful. And yeah, no, yeah, it's still a very powerful ability because just, yeah, especially just knowing, if you have the right team and they're, yeah, like they're communicating, you can just be like, hey, like a person's right there.
I mean, when
like, I mean, I don't really, I might not know exactly how far they are, but mm-hmm. I know they're in that general area over there.
Remember that 10 kill game I had? Remember, like I mm-hmm. can all, they're right here. Hey, dude's right there. Hey, they're on the bridge. Zap. And in fact, the clip I uploaded, I hit them with the beam. Like, cause I knew, like, yep, boom, they're right there. Now, granted, yeah, that game, you know, it's not the perfect example because I knew where they were going to be coming from, but still, like, it's just kind of crazy. Another thing, too, I mean, there's legends that are not in the competitive meta, and that should be a statement in itself. Like, I told you, you know, I'm still on the Loba train for picking up your teammates' banners.
Yeah.
I think, I don't understand why you can't do that. Like, I will never understand it. You should just be, because crypto gets instant scan and instant respawn, but Loba mm-hmm. can't steal a banner. So why can't she drop her ultimate, get the banners, and get out with, like, less of an animation? Like, oh, got my teammate banner, I'm out. Even mm-hmm. if it counted for her picks, I wouldn't even care if they made it count for my pick. I just don't know why I don't have that ability. Like, there are things you want to make legends good, but not broken. But it seems like whenever a legend gets good,
it's cut
that's
down.
Not in the meta, they make them not good anymore.
Yeah.
And well, that's why they're not in the meta. Like, it's just...
Well, yeah, I think that's a great meta. Point, Patrick. I think that you're going to run into that no matter really what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's always going to be legends that just play off well with each other and fit yeah. certain teams. You know, once again, I'm talking about pro teams, kind of profile, and how they want to go about winning or attacking a match or playing a match. But before we move on to this, I just want to read off... I think this is going to be interesting there. They characterized their, or they gave their characters new assignments or new classes. That's what the word I'm looking for, classes. And so you have Assault with Ash, Fuse, Mad Maggie, Bangalore, and Revenant. Skirmish, which is Pathfinder, Horizon, Octane, Valkyrie, Wraith, and Mirage. Recon, Bloodhound, Crypto, Seer, Vantage, right?
Yep.
And Control, Caustic, Watson, Rampart, and... Oh, God. Catalyst. It's that Catalyst, that new chick, right? Yeah, Catalyst. And then support, Lifeline, Loba, Newcastle, and Gibby. And I don't know. I don't mind those classes, at least. It's going to be interesting to see. What's nice about, what's it called? What's nice about Battle Royales, right? It's just being dropped anywhere. You don't really know who the last circle is going to be. What's mm-hmm. nice about that, you can't really plan to be like, okay, cool. It's going to close on a house. So let's take a lot of control people, right? Let's take Caustic and Callistic or Catalyst, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it'll be a pain in the butt, especially if you control the inside of the building to get in it. But you know, you don't really have it. So that's the beauty of battle royales, and maybe that's a bad thing about a character shooter with battle royales too, because you can't really plan strategies like that. You know, you have to be a lot more adaptable. But it's gonna be interesting. I want to see, I can't wait to play it on the 14th at least, Patrick, mm-hmm. and see kind of what is going to go and how people are going to what's exactly going to change and what's going to, you know, if it's going to be fun to play or if there's going to be a big refresh with a bunch of new players joining or is it going to be a big leaving.
One
exodus.
Last thing, if I may say, I'm curious too because you got a winner already, so like changing it is always a risk. But also, if I could just ask, where's cross-platform progression in 120 frames? Can somebody just those are of all the things I've asked for, those are the two biggest.
Yeah, the 120 frames is a big one.
Bro. And you know, especially when you're in cross-platform lobbies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. And I still no word on that. So, like, that's one other thing I'm very disappointed on with this. Like, you know, I'm not going to say I don't like the game, because if I didn't, I would play it every week, right? But I am going to say that I'm trying to understand them. And I did watch some of the ALGS last week. I don't know if it came back on this week, but I did watch some last week. And it's clear, and I knew this very own, like I said, we talked often, and I'll just end on this. It's clear that they want the game to be appealing to an audience. And that's what drives their decisions, in my humble opinion. And that's why anytime you have pros, you take feedback from pros. But that's another reason they're so heavily involved. Again, I don't have any proof of this. This is my opinion. Because they're trying to have it to be like a live stream, you know, competitive VR for audiences, not the dude trying to survive like in the Hunger Games with camo, not doing anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It needs to be entertaining.
Right. Right. And that's what's driving a lot of stuff, in my opinion.
Okay, so before we go on to the Nintendo Direct, Patrick, real quick, what you want to talk about Persona?
Oh, man, Persona, man, that game is, man, that game is crazy. Like,
it's addictive, man.
It is fun, man. So, first, shout out to Kawamaki, the teacher of my dreams. That was a cool...
Oh, is that is she the maid one?
Yeah. That was a cool storyline. Like,
that's so funny.
It was hilarious, man. And then I am there are certain things I'm like starting to notice. Now, I have not read anything. I don't know who the last boss is or whatever. And to let you know where I am right now, Medjed is after me, or I guess video game version of Anonymous. So yeah. I'm in the trying to get some hacker help. So I'm in that palace. Or as I like to call it, I'm in the Egyptian palace. But Akechi, I don't know, man. Something off about that dude, man. I don't know. I could be wrong. He could just end up being a confidant and he's going to flip. But that dude seems suspect to me. The dude. Okay,
and that's the boy detective, right?
Yep. Something about that dude seems suspect to me. I can't put my finger on it.
So he's suspect number one.
I don't have right a. Now? Oh, okay. So, okay. If by suspect number one, you mean the person going around the metaverse doing wrong stuff because we can't figure out who that is? Yes.
Yeah.
For me, he is the prime suspect right now.
All right.
Akechi. Because I'm like, yo, man, something off about you, dude. Something off about you, man. I don't know. And I don't always choose like the friendly answer. Mm-hmm. And the way he was breaking down the group that was together and was like, oh, I mean, he could say it was y'all. And I had said back, like, he was like, I'm not saying I'm investigating you or something like that. And I was like, yo, you acting funny. And it was like, huh? Like, what? And I was just like, yeah, nah, man. I don't know about you, bro. I don't know about you. So, okay. Again, that he is suspect number one. I'm not as strong. I know the principal's dirty. I don't think it's the principal, clearly. Is the number one dude. But if I had to pick the metaverse roamer, I'm going to catch you right now. Because I have a feeling it's going to be somebody around the same age. I don't think it's going to be the only other person I originally was going to guess. Well, there was two other guesses I had, but I have no basis for them right now. I can only go off like what I've been experiencing. One was the dude who got me in trouble.
Okay.
The more I think about it, I'm like, yo, this dude's a loser. The other one would be whoever's in charge, and I don't know who this person is, of Makoto's sister, of Sei.
Her boss, whoever, right? Because she's a she's a prosecutor, right?
Yeah. So whoever that background character is that I'm sure exists that I don't know, those were like the original two guesses. Then the principal started emerging, and I still want to mollywop the principal. That ain't changing. But now I'm just, I don't know. This that one was one conversation with Akechi, and I was like, and then he said something too that I picked up on where he was like, I don't want to say he said you may be my nemesis or something, but he was like, maybe you're at my antithesis or something. I can't remember what he said.
He said some anime stuff.
Yeah, and I was like, yo, dude, I'm watching you, man.
Okay.
So, like I said, and I haven't read anything. I don't know if that's true. I'm just spitballing. But to the gameplay, loving it. I got the ability to, like, use my whip to zip ambush enemies. That was really cool. I just did some more confidant stuff. Like, now I was able to ask the guy about the bag at the airsoft shop. Yeah, so that was cool. Because it was like, oh, you know, have enough guts or something. I was like, man.
Yeah. Bravery has to be gutsy or something like that, right?
Yeah, you need guts. You need higher guts to do this or whatever. Yeah, so, and right now I'm literally trying to get the Path of the Treasure.
Yeah.
For
the pyramid.
Futaba. Yeah.
I think that one, I enjoy that. I really did enjoy that storyline for that one.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't remember the palace being that big, I think it had a lot to do with like doing a lot of stuff outside the metaverse.
I can see that. Yeah, well, it was weird too because like you had to. That's the first palace where you have like a side area because I had to go to the city first and like run down the dude to get the thing, and then you know it's interesting. The thing I like about the storyline is how something could materialize even though you aren't pure evil. And I haven't seen that to its entire conclusion, but that is cool. Like, I was like, that's kind of cool. Yeah. And then
I think that's why it's one of my favorite storylines too, or story arcs with that too. Because to your point, it's like, oh yeah, you don't have to have like pure evil intentions to like have this other person. And they went in a lot with that in Persona 4 Golden. What the whole thing was like, you have to accept this part of yourself in order to like gain control of the personas. It was like you have to accept a part of yourself that you are rejecting. Mm-hmm. And so this palace kind of reminds me of that a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So it was, like I say, it's really cool to kind of see that. I'm still trying to, the one thing I'm trying to understand, and I wish I could find this out in trophies too, is like, because I was trying to understand, like, what are the achievements for romance? Is it, I did read somewhere you literally can romance everyone. So is there a trophy for romancing everyone? And then is there an achievement? I should say achievement because I'm playing on Xbox. Is there an achievement for romancing no one? Like, what are these achievements related to that? So I can likely hit them. I'm sure everything else, I'll hit on the way.
Yeah.
But that was one thing I was just like,
I don't think it's everybody. I think you get in trouble if you try to romance everybody.
I read somewhere you could.
You can romance everybody, like as in you have all these options, or was it in one playthrough you can have all these girlfriends?
You get in one playthrough, you can have all these girlfriends.
Huh.
That's what I read.
Okay.
And I'm just trying, Patrick, to make sure like I don't bust it up. But anyway.
Do it, Patrick. I want to see it.
Oh, bro, you already know what's going down, bro. It's a video game. Come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
Do it just because. It's not like it's my real life or something. So yeah, but I mean, that was, like I said, that was also fun. And then seeing like the ultimate abilities. Because I only have Temperance ultimate right now, but just seeing that. And then the side content is like really kind of fun too. And this is a great example of properly interwoven side content. Doing the Warden side quests, you know, they're kind of fun. Like the banter between them as well is like, who wrote this list? I don't know. His handwriting looks familiar. And I don't know where this list came from. Like when you first talk about it, then last conversation was like, his handwriting does look familiar. And I was like, can I see it? And it's like, you be quiet, inmate. No, it was funny. Another thing I'm a little aloof on is Igor. Cause like, I'm like, are you just the dude to tell me I have more persona slots and laugh and say, you're going to get some help or something? Like, I'm just like, what? You must have another purpose, please. Like, at some point, please have something more to tell me. And he may not. But I told you, I was the biggest fan of Igor. And I get his role. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trashing the game or nothing. I'm just saying.
I can't wait for you to beat it, because there's a bunch of, that's like, there's obviously a lot of storylines going on in that game with the individual. Like, pretty much every character you meet has their own storyline that you could that you can pursue by itself. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it relates to the main storyline. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's bonus content. Sometimes you're chain sending. Patrick, you don't know. And that's the beauty of these Persona games. I think that's why some of them become so replayable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it's okay, cool. You went through the first time. You clearly cannot do everything the first time. You will not update. You won't upgrade all of your stats, right? Your bravery, your charisma, and all that. That will not happen in the first one.
I saw somebody do it. I saw two people do it.
Okay, that's what I was gonna say. Maybe you can't, but that's all you're gonna be doing is just that. You know, to get that all the way up.
Get complete achievements, 100 points on the Xbox. Two people on one playthrough.
On one playthrough.
On Twitter, on one playthrough.
Was it a oh man? Because I don't think you. I didn't think you could. I still don't think you can.
I'm not. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Like, I wonder if they glitched it.
Maybe they had to reload a save or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I
think you could if you save at a certain point. I guess technically, that's one playthrough. If you're like, okay, you know, you find the tipping point where it's like, okay, from here, I'm gonna do all the jobs to meet all the confidants and upgrade all the confidants and all that stuff, and then the other side is, I'm gonna do everything else, like the baseball and the side games and all that stuff. So I know there's a way to get like the quote true ending the first time through. It's not, I would recommend a guide if you were going to do that, but that's interesting. I didn't think you could do that, Patrick.
Yeah, I'm not, like I said, I know there are two people I follow on Twitter who said they got every achievement on one playthrough. I believe one of them did say they reloaded a save And I don't know what they did different, but they did get everything completed on one playthrough. So I'm not going to say it's impossible. I'm just going to say maybe there's guide help there. I'm not knocking anybody for that. I'm not going to say I've never opened a guide for this game. I'm just going to say that, you know, apparently it's supposed to be possible. But the game is phenomenal, man. It's phenomenal. The only thing I find myself struggling with is money at times. But now when I go to palaces, I just make the...
You just hold them all up, huh?
Man, I do. Give me money. And then give me more money. Because I have the ability to ask again. Yo, double that up. One time I was able to successfully get money after asking them for more money twice, which I never thought would happen. And then what's cool is even if they're like, oh, you greedy man, no. And they summon more things to fight you, that money still goes to the end fight total.
Yeah.
So once I found that out, it was one fight, bro. It probably took way too long, but I was like, yo, I don't care. Yeah. I'm leaving rich. So it was because I think that I left the last palace. Money. Yeah. I left the last palace, I think, with like 350 grand.
Or something. Oh, okay. That's nice.
Yeah, I left with like real money, bro, because I was like, I'm tired of not having money, bro.
I did some research too. You can with Royal go through the first time in Platinum it and get all the trophies.
Okay.
But on the original one, you can't.
You could not. Okay. That's what I say. I feel better because I was like, I saw two people I know. One, I'll shout out Sixers Octavian. I'm trying to remember who the other person was. I think Sixers Octavian did it one playthrough. Another JRPG true fan. One playthrough for 100, I believe. One of them was Sixers Octavian. But yeah, So we'll see what happens. Like, you know me. But I'm just happy that. You know, and then I still have to buy 4 gold, and I'll probably get 4 gold on payday for Switch and Xbox. But I'm just so glad these games are here. I'm not going to say I would have never played it. That's clearly, not factual. But I am going to say that getting to play it where I want and the game being as good as it is, it's just like a double dip of ice cream or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's the ice cream with the chocolate covering. Like, it's great, man. The game is great, and I'm enjoying playing it on my Xbox. I'm hoping that eventually we can get Trails to come on over, because I would just love to play Trails 3 on my Xbox. And by the way, fast travel is so fast, bro. I love it. I can't imagine what it was like on PS3. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Oh, I never played on PS3. I had it on PS4, so that's a good point.
I know.
And then, too, just real quick, and this is maybe why I got stuck in my head, too. With Persona 4 Golden, you cannot platinum. There is no way to platinum that on one playthrough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, I wasn't trying to argue. I just remember two people saying they did do it. And so, I guess it could be done. But, I mean, again, I'm enjoying the storyline.
With the proper guide, Patrick, anything can be done.
As long as the programmers allow it. You ain't lying.
Yeah.
So, hopefully next week I'll have more to report. Like, this week was really rough during the week. But all weekend, that's pretty much what I've been doing. I've been playing. That's pretty much, outside of a couple games of Apex to, like, get a win or whatever, it's just been all Persona 5. And I'm starting to think that little counter in the corner too. My thinking cap came on, and maybe I should have identified this from the beginning, but I don't know. I was just busy enjoying the game. That little meter where it says like the belief in the Phantom Thieves, I'm starting to believe that's my game progress. I really am, because I'm like, I started like 7, 8, and it was like, I don't know, 15, 20. Now it's like at 37%. I'm like, I'm starting to think you're trying to tell me, when I get to 100% belief, it's time to wrap this story up, or at least 90% or whatever the high number is, right?
I will just say, Patrick, it is linked more. It's closely linked to the progression of the main story.
That's what I mean.
I'm not saying, but it's not. It moves with the progression of that story. It's not necessary how close you are to beating the game, though.
It's not a clear indicator. No, I got that. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I meant, if I just wanted to beeline it, I got a feeling when that bar gets to pretty much the end, so too is the game. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
But it's not literally meant to be that. Yeah.
All right, Pat. Real quick for me, I don't want to spend too much on this because I've talked about it so much already. I'm still playing FIFA a little bit, Rocket League, and a little bit of Apex, a little bit of Overwatch too. It's just infuriating in FIFA, the career mode. It's like, cool, they added probably because of MLB, it was like they added where I can make my own stadium and make my own team. Awesome. Great. Liked it. Yeah. What's up?
No, I just said, wow. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. So that's great. but there's still just like little things that bug me. I think like I feel like I lost like half of my progress because I didn't like manually exit and save, even though it said it auto saved. I'm not sure, but it kind of felt like that because I was playing. I was like, I felt like I already like I made these transfers and I did this, and it's saying that I didn't do this. Like, this is weird. So that's there's like a weird progression problem with that. There's a weird training system where the training kind of gets glitched out. But the thing that really makes me mad, that's it's just like a little thing that I don't know how didn't get caught and changed on the same game that they release every year for $70+ or $100 if you get the Ultimate Edition or whatever. It's how come when I have a player that's on international duty, I have to go and change the entire team sheet? Like, I can't just sub him out the game. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh, like, okay, hey, here's your game. Here's your lineup. I'm like, okay, this person's out on international duty. Let me essentially take him off the roster real quick and put someone back on his space. I literally have to go to like the master copy of that team sheet and change the master copy. And it's so frustrating because even when you try to take them out of the starting lineup to pit him, not even on the bench, but take him out of the game, it's just like, oh, this person's on international duty and they can't be moved. And I'm like, I know that. That's why I'm trying to take him out the lineup. I'm not trying to put him in the lineup. And it's so frustrating, Patrick. It is so frustrating. And just like this little thing, I'm like, how did that get past QA?
Like, well, like, that probably wasn't their primary focus. They probably were worried about Ultimate Team packs, bro.
Oh, my God. So that's frustrating. I think I don't know why it's also so difficult just to find randos online to play with. I feel like that should have been solved already. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, you jump on Call of Duty and it's like multiplayer, bam, 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 you get there. Any other multiplayer game, even Apex, is like, oh, like go here, hit triangle when you want to load, or go and click this little box here and pick the mode you want to play. Rocket League, what mode do you want to play in the game? It's like here, it's like, oh, you have to like jump through all these hoops and all these menus and stuff. And then it's like, there's no like clear indication that says like play online or play with randos. And so it's like, oh no, you're playing with a friend. I was like, I don't want to play with a friend. I just want to play online with someone. And I don't know why that's so difficult, to the point where I had to like Google it. I'm like, what setting is this under? So I don't know. FIFA does some good things, and it's just like little things like that that makes me mad. It's like, this is supposed to be like a polished game and experience, and it's not.
For what, especially for what they charge for it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I would never buy, unless you're just really into sports and that's the only game you buy, in my opinion, never buy a sports game full price. Technically, I didn't even buy this one. I had a friend buy it for me for $40 because he wanted to play with me. And I was like, cool. Like, if you buy the game, I'll download it and we can play.
That's hey, sometimes how to get you. Gifting is a thing. And I will say, to your point, I would agree. I don't play. There's no sports game I pay full price for. And you said it best. I mean, if it's not your thing, I wouldn't do it. I will say, of all the ones I play, the EA ones seem to always be lacking features. Like the show and 2K basketball seem to do a little better in some of
these. They make them look so bad. The show, MLB The Show, makes any EA sport game look like dog crap.
Yes, agreed.
Like, if I'm saying, EA even decided to maybe sniff towards, put a toe into the MLB Show, they would be blown out the water for the quality that MLB The Show is.
Yeah, they've been skull drug pretty bad. Yeah, I agree. MLB The Show is really a gem, and that's why I say, like, it's just something I don't understand why they don't do it. But fans have been asking for better franchise features for Madden for a while. I can't say FIFA for sure, but I know that. But again, they just care about selling Ultimate Team packs. Like, that's it. It's unfortunate, but true.
Yeah. All right, Patrick. Do you want to just go straight into the Nintendo Direct, or do you have any pickups you want to talk about?
I just want to talk about a couple things. One, did you pick up a PSVR 2? I'm seeing all these unboxings online.
Oh yeah, Patrick. You know, I called a producer, right? Our producer was on that, and they were trying to get us a review copy, and I think it got lost in the mail. I don't think it's going to come in anytime soon. So I'll put some more heat on the sponsors about that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'll put some more heat on the sponsors. That's
no problem. Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. No problem. So shout out to Radical Reggie. I enjoy a lot of his pickup videos because it's always games there that I wouldn't really hear about, right? But
I got a game called Warhammer 40K or Warhammer 40,000 Shooters, Blood and Teeth. And it's
man, there's so many Warhammer games too, by the way.
Yeah, no, it is. And this one, it really looks like kind of a funny, like it looks like kind of an action shooter. Like, so it looks really cool. So that's the one pickup that I guess I have some other ones. That's the one pickup though that I'll talk about. Like, I was just like, oh, that looks pretty cool. And it is PS5. It's only $30 game, by the way. So I got it on PS5 and on Switch. That's the only one I want to talk about. And I figured you had got a PSVR. But no, we can jump right into the old Direct if you want.
Yeah. What stood out for you?
Actually, I thought the Direct...
It was kind of beefy for how short it was, I guess.
I thought it was mid at best.
Mid?
And I can explain why. Dude.
Well, okay, you're not a Zelda fan. I guess neither am I. So, okay.
But this is not even the first time we've seen Zelda. So here's the thing. Okay. This is what I was going to say. I had so many comments. I know we're limited on time because Super Bowl, you probably got wings in the air fryer, you know. But if Xbox had the same game for Indie Show twice, what would we say? What would anybody say?
Oh, it was full. It was a disgrace.
Right. Nintendo literally just did that. So they're like, oh, it's a new Zelda trailer. But I don't, I mean, yeah, you're showing the most anticipated game, which I predicted is one of the Game Awards. But, like, that's something we've already seen. So, like, why are you getting credit, right? So, the reason the show was mid to me, and just interrupt me wherever you want, because I know I get a little ranty, but this show really bugged me, though. So, you say, okay, you start off with Pikmin 4. I'll give you credit for Pikmin 4. Like, that's, you know, no beef for Pikmin. No disrespect intended. Then you got Splatoon 3 DLC. All right, no beef with DLC. You say, okay, you want to talk about the classic gaming library expanding. Bro, hackers and emulator people been doing this on the Switch, bro. What's taking you so long? Game Boy Advance games was on the Wii U. They was on the... Were they on the Wii? I know they were on the Wii U because I bought some. Now you finally bringing them. And if I'm not mistaken, the only way I can do that is that an expansion pass perk or whatever? Bro, what? What? Why can't I just buy what I want, Nintendo? Can I just buy Excitebike, Punch-Out, and a few other games, please? Can I just do that? Like, I'm not motivated to pay you a yearly subscription to play old stuff. I just want to buy it. Okay? So then you say, okay. By the way, this is no disrespect to any third party, so I'm not going to talk about too much third party stuff. So I was like, I don't really get that. And you say, okay, Fire Emblem Engage expansion pass DLC is now available. All right, cool. Like, you know, sure. I definitely want my Advance Wars. But then Metroid Prime remastered, right? Which we've heard has been... cooked food and been out the oven for like a year or two easy. Why isn't it the whole trilogy? Why do they get a pass for just releasing the first game when they released the whole trilogy on Wii?
For the same reason, Patrick, why they didn't get any crap about releasing all the 3D Marios for a month and then getting rid of it.
3D All-Stars? Yep. It was like 6 months, but I know what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? So like for me, it was like super mid, bro. I was like, you're telling me about... Now, we aren't big Zelda fans. We've made that known. But even still, if any other company, any of the other big three, if Sony or Microsoft ended a show with the same game twice, you cannot tell me the energy would have been like, oh my God, I'm so glad we saw more of that. I don't believe it, man. And it didn't hit me like that. I was just like, to me, it sounds like this is a stopgap year for you based on what you're showing me. Outside of Zelda. No disrespect intended to Zelda. But you're showing me retro stuff, which for some reason always takes you 100 years to show me. And then you showing me Zelda, which you already showed me. And then you bring in some stuff to an expansion pass when at best I just want to buy it, especially if it's your property. And then you show me some DLC, which I'm not going to knock you for, but I'm not going to like overly credit it, even though Mario Kart is that greatness. So I'm just saying, then you show me a remaster of one game when it should be the whole trilogy. So I'm just like, it just wasn't there for me. Like, is it direct? Nintendo, I tell you that it's because they have almost a monopoly on nostalgia. Because to me, the show wasn't all... If Microsoft came out there and did that same thing, they would get shredded. But it's Nintendo.
Oh, 100, yeah. We talked about this so much. Nintendo could be like Zelda. That's all Nintendo Direct, and people would lose.
Yeah.
And when I say Zelda, not even a trailer, just like that first trailer... or teaser they did of Breath of the Wild 2 or whatever. I guess now it's
Tears of the Kingdom.
Tears of the Kingdom. It's like, just this. Like, oh my God, don't forget, yes.
Metroid Prime 4 was literally just the wallpaper at best.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, and we still haven't seen it. Was that 6 years ago now? 5 years ago?
Oh, it feels like it, man. I stopped counting.
Yeah, me too. You know, you see what I'm saying? So I'm just like, I don't know. Like, here's what I will say. Some of the third party stuff I thought was fire. But I'm not giving, and granted, it's part of their show, so okay. But that's why it was mid. It was because of everybody else. So like Bates and Kaitos remastered. Both games, Kaitos and Origins. I thought that was really cool. I can't remember if Etrian Odyssey is a Nintendo property. I don't think it is. But having the Etrian Odyssey, a remastered 3-game collection, I think that's really cool. Advance Wars 1 and 2, I think that's really cool. You see what I'm saying? Like, I thought that stuff's really cool. But the actual stuff Nintendo presented, it just didn't grab me where the things that were supposed to didn't. Like, Metroid Prime didn't hit me like that. Mario Kart is Mario Kart, so I'll always give you credit for Mario Kart. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's DLC. I'll give you credit for some of the DLCs. You want to say Xenoblade DLC? You want to say Mario Kart DLC? I'll give you credit for those. Splatoon 3 DLC, okay. But the rest of the stuff? Nah, bro. Not for me. I'm not gonna get excited to pay you more annually to play old stuff. Why would
Patrick, how do you feel about that $70 price tag on Legend of Zelda?
Bro, well said too. It's not even a next gen game. This is the hustle. And Nintendo doesn't lower prices, but like, matter of fact, the first sale I saw on Breath of the Wild had to at least be 3 years later or something like that. Like, it was insane the first time I saw a price drop on it. And it still sells. So you're selling me a game for $70 with no next gen features, no next gen hardware, nothing. Just $70.
Well, it's not even like and I think now the problem that the Switch is really running into, this game looks horrendous. Like, it doesn't look good. I'm sorry. And like, yeah, they got the art style and stuff. The art kind of gives you a little bit of a leadway to it, but still looks like a. It looks like a remastered version of a PlayStation, not even or like a cheap remake of a PlayStation 2 version of a game. Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, the hardware's dated. It makes perfect sense, bro.
Yeah, so like, there's still like the textures are just so soft. Yeah, it's like cell shaded, but it's still so just like soft though.
Yeah,
and like the edges are dull and things like that.
Yeah.
So I think now that's finally but now it's really starting to show. Where you have, you know, the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and stuff, that this art style, yeah, it's stylized and looks nice, and they're still able to provide a very open world where you can go almost anywhere, which one's really cool, right? That's really cool, but it's still just like, yeah, have you seen God of War, though? Like, have you seen Forza? And we're not asking this Zelda game to be that good looking, but it still looks like a remaster of a PlayStation 2. It kind of reminds me, there's certain, even in this trailer, there are certain shots that I was like, is that the Shadow of Colossus PlayStation 4 remake that they did? You know?
Yes.
And even going back to that the Metroid game, that does not look good either. They're like, experience in HD, and it's like, okay, I guess the only like positive side of like doing that is at least it looks like how I remember it looks.
Right.
But it certainly does not look better.
Yeah, you know, you go even look at complaining about some of the stuff like the doors. They said they didn't like the way they changed the look and of the original developer. Yeah, like I said, it just the hardware. And I'm not gonna knock the Switch. Like, I would take mine somewhere and play it and enjoy it. Don't get me wrong, but like, it's just
Steam Deck is like, you can play Fallout 4 and Fallout 3 on the Steam Deck.
Yeah,
and things like that. It's like, well, you can't put just a little bit more juice. You can't come out with the Pro version, because if they did come out with the Pro version, I know you would buy one. And if you're going to buy one, that means I know a lot of people will probably buy one. Because you don't even play a Switch.
I don't play it nearly as much as the other two. That's the absolute truth. And they said at one point it was coming, and they canceled it. Look, they canceled it for whatever their next thing's going to be, which if it doesn't play Switch games, you're an idiot. I'd tell you to your face. If your next console doesn't play Switch games.
That's worse than, that'd be worse than PlayStation.
Right.
It's worse than PlayStation, because if it's like, oh yeah, here's a new system, all the cartridges for your Switch do not work in here.
Bro, and I know people, like, I watch people. Now, granted, I have a lot of games too. But I mean, I've seen some pretty huge Switch collections, bro. And if you're telling me you're just going to let it go, like buy, and the next console won't play it, like Game Boy Advance played Game Boy, whatever, however you want to do it in that handheld tradition, then I'm like, yo, you're insane. You're insane because it's just too good, man. But I'm with you. The hardware's definitely dated. The hardware's showing its age. Everybody knows it. Right now, you're out there with Band-Aids and bubble gum. That don't mean the game won't be fun. It just means we're going to see how not sharp it is. Do we have that Pokemon?
Yeah, but it's like, imagine the Bayonetta, right? The newest Bayonetta on the PlayStation 5 or Series X.
Oh, my God. It would be amazing.
Right? Like, or even if you just imagine it with, like, Uncharted 4 graphics on the PlayStation 4 or Resident Evil 2 remake graphics. You know?
They're missing. And then game design, I would bet, is being hindered. Now, I'm not a developer, clearly, but I will bet, and maybe it's coming across.
Like the moment to moment, but probably the bombastic stuff, because those are the scope. That game is very bombastic.
I got you. Yeah, but in the scope, and like I say, it's just really showing its age. And I always try to give credit where credit is due, but I'm not going to let you end on a second Zelda trailer, and which for me personally, it was cool to see him on like the flying thing, but that was it, and like. Think that was okay with that. Like, I just not okay with a bunch of DLC, even, Mario Kart aside, because Mario Kart's on a whole other level. I'm not okay with a bunch of, like, DLC and everything when really your heavy hitter, I guess, was supposed to be Pikmin 4, which I'll give you some credit for. But then after that, it wasn't there. And that third-party stuff, yeah, that was straight. But that's why it's mid, because your first, like, and this is where I try to keep that same energy, right? If Xbox... You know, now I will say, and I don't remember there being a game that I wasn't expecting that I walked away with either. Because, it's always one of my things, right? It was like, oh, I didn't even know about that. If for a game or show, I don't remember seeing one of those in this show either. You know what I mean? Because I always try to be fair, like the way we've talked about shows. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I didn't walk away with like, oh, man, I really didn't know about that game. But now I really got to dang, that was kind of crazy. It just wasn't like that. The biggest game of the show was Zelda, which we'd already knew about. Pikmin 4 is cool, sure. I have the other Pikmins, sure. But, like, do I care so much as to, like, I'm looking for a show for that? No. And then you got some DLC and stuff, cool. And like I said, Mario Kart DLC, I'll give you that one. That's Mario Kart. But everything else, I'm just like, yo. And then you let me down by only having one Prime remastered game. When I'm ready to buy the physical collection of all three, I'm ready. So now do I have to wait for two and then wait for three?
Yes, then pay $70 for all three of them, and then 5 years from now they're gonna put it in a bundle online for a month.
The remaster bundle, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, there's certain practices that I'm just tired of, and I just mean no disrespect, but it was mid at best. Like that's for me, it was mid. That's just what it was. I'm sorry. Like Mario Kart was gonna be great with or without Wave 4. I'm sorry, it just doesn't matter, bro. Like. It just, I don't know. I think they need, another thing too, is what it really told me is Nintendo setting up for a lighter year? And I don't know. We'll know by the end of the year, right? But I don't know. Like, there's no, like, Tears of the Kingdom, I know it's a big one. They probably don't want to release a Zelda and a Mario game in the same year. We're both looking at dated hardware, so I'm like, yo, we getting new hardware. That would have set it off for me if they were like, our new hardware is launching this date. And we could see what that was. But just what we got. Yeah, I'll give it a grand mid, C-type shows, mid.
Yeah. Well, Patrick, sometimes you can only get a C.
That's just, I mean, everybody's had one. Like,
more than one. Yeah,
There was the one with I just remember the one that was a Godfall or whatever.
Yeah.
It was supposed to carry, remember? And I was just like,
That ain't it.
No, sorry, but that ain't the one, guys. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I did like some of the stuff. I don't want to totally poo-poo it, but you're not going to hit me with Zelda twice and think I'm going to do like a dance. That will work with, here's what I will say in their defense, though. That will work with the majority of Nintendo fans. If you're big into Zelda, which the game sold a lot, they probably were super happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to some other people speak on it, and I was mad. I'm like, yo, of course I wasn't on those platforms or whatever, but I was like, yo, you're giving them credit for releasing you old games that they've sold you complete editions for in the past.
Well, now, there's jokes now on the internet where people are like, I know that I have bought this game for full price 6 times on 6 different platforms. And will I do it again? Yes, I will do it again.
I'm guilty too. I'm not gonna front like I'm not guilty. What I'm saying though is I'd rather do that than pay a subscription fee to play it.
Mm.
Like I still have Tetris.
Yeah. I've talked about this too. This is my fear. Subscriptions are just, for better or worse, the way of the future. You already see it like taking over our television, our entertainment, and how irritating all that is, especially with Netflix being like the golden boy or the golden child of streaming, and now becoming like soon on its way to becoming the most hated streaming platform because of just stupid decisions. You have things like Game Pass showing success and things like that. PlayStation Plus, even, you know, that's the way, you know, Sony got people to pay for their internet provided so they can provide security so they wouldn't get hacked again, was to offer people free games. But now you can kind of see how that has turned into something like Game Pass, and now how Game Pass, yes, it's a good service, but Xbox is a little bit more open. And then Nintendo's like, oh, how can we maybe mimic Game Pass but still get people to pay for full price games? And it's kind of like a different way Sony's doing it, instead of saying like, oh, you know, you're still going to get 2 free games, and maybe you have a game collection where there's some first parties and third party games, older games on there. They're just shaming like, oh, yeah, this nostalgia that we have of yours, we're going to lock it behind the subscription.
Well, and
make it like you dangle it even more in front of your face. I think even worse than Sony's doing.
Well, and so this is where I got to be fair, okay, to Microsoft and even Sony. They at least will let me buy old games. If it's their game. If they currently have the rights to it, they'll let me buy it. Like Microsoft with Game Pass, right? I can go in Game Pass and play just about anything first party that's theirs, right? But I still can buy it. So if I decide, you know what, Game Pass is cool, I don't want Game Pass, but I bought the game, I can still play it. They at least offer you either model. You're not stuck in one model.
Yeah.
Nintendo right here, they're not offering you either model. They're offering you just one. And to your point about subscriptions taking over, I know this is a gaming show, but they're even coming to the auto industry, I found out.
Oh, so don't get me started about if you want heated seats, BMW owners, BMW, you have to pay us a fucking subscription. Really?
Bro.
Really, burn your car to the ground.
Bro, I was like, and you call yourself a luxury brand?
I would be so upset if I was a BMW like person. Yeah, for me, yeah. Like I look at some BMWs like, oh yeah, those are kind of nice. And then I was like, maybe one day I'll buy like a used one. You know, when it's like this car, maybe 10, 20 years from now, this car is going to be worth nothing. Then I'll go buy it. But no way. If it's like, OK, so you're saying the technology is installed. So you can't say it's a feature that it cost us X amount of dollars to put in a certain amount of cars. It's already installed. And same thing with the DLC, right? On disc that you're talking about, right? But
Going
back to gaming where it's, OK, no. The disc just has a disc has a code to unlock the content digitally.
Yeah, it's all there.
All the content's on the disc, and you're just selling me a key to it.
Yeah, we made it already.
And it's there.
And we're calling it. See, you think DLC is downloadable content, but really, for us, it's disc locked content. Man, I was like, man, get that track. So I'm just tired. I'm tired of these models. I'm okay if you say you can have a subscription on this side or you can buy it on this side. Like, believe it or not, like, I'm okay with that. I have no beef with that. I'm not like upset about that. But if you say, you know, the only way you can play these games without resorting to educational methods, legal educational methods, is to pay us a yearly fee. Like, I'm just not that dude, bro. Like, I don't take kindly to that. I don't, because for one, I still have these games. I still have Tetris on Game Boy. In fact, I have 2 copies of Tetris on Game Boy. I have Minish Cap on Game Boy Advance. I have other stuff on Game Boy Advance. Like, I just would like to be able to go to a marketplace. And it's crazy to think that I feel like I'm asking for too much, even in our current way we play games. But I would just like to be able to go to a marketplace, buy the Game Boy Advance game you're offering me, and play the game. That's it. I know that sounds crazy in the 21st century, but I would just like to buy what I want to consume in terms of entertainment. I know.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue, here's the funny thing. I'm actually willing to give them the money. They just won't let me. It's crazy, bro. It's crazy. Like I said, back to the Direct. It just wasn't, to me, it was mid at best. Sorry if that hurts, folks. And I love Nintendo. So it's not like I have more games for Switch than any other system. So it's not that. It's just that I expected more. And, you know, shout out to some of the DLC or whatever, but that ain't it. And then the not let me, I'm just tired of company limiting their own games for sale. Well, I can see if there's licensing stuff involved. I will say, like when they came out with the, I don't really care about the 64, you know, that ain't really my thing, so outside of like maybe five games. But like when they added the Sega thing, now I already had the Sega Classics ROM or whatever. I forget what it's called. So I already had that where you get like 50 Sega games. But I at least understood why that may need to be subscription-based because that's not yours. Does that make sense? So if you didn't buy the game with most of the Sega Classics on it, but you want to play them, they offer it to you as a subscription thing, but they had to work out that licensing with Sega. But when it's yours, I don't understand why you can't offer me another way. I will say that's what I'm happy about with the Mario Kart expansion pass, because I bought the Booster Course pass or whatever. I didn't get it through the add-on for the expansion or the upgrade to the expansion pass plus, whatever it's called. I didn't buy that. I just bought the Mario Kart DLC pack. That's it. So I don't understand why we can't get a both models side by side, mm-hmm. especially when I'm willing to pay them. It's not like, I mean, because that's the one thing, like even with Microsoft stuff, there are plenty of games that are on Game Pass that I own. So if I had no access to Game Pass tomorrow, I could still play a bunch of first and third party stuff because I bought it. It's not like that's the only way I can consume it. And I get afraid that companies are slowly but surely because the one thing I would hate to see, we always talk about gaming going all digital. And you know how I feel about that. I'm a dinosaur. I'm not a fan. But now, you know, I start seeing more and more stuff like this. I'm like, just please don't let gaming go all subscription only. And to Sony's credit, too, they don't do that either. It's just Nintendo, man. Just Nintendo. That's why I can't. It's like they wanted to have a half a Game Pass in the worst possible way. I don't even want to put Microsoft in a negative statement.
With yeah, that. That's another way to put it. Is a Game Pass, like a half a Game Pass in the worst way.
Yeah. But that's all I got, really. Just, you know, I just expect more. Hopefully it's because it's early year and they don't want to spill the beans is what I'm really hoping. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping mid-year, probably around the time of my birthday or so, we'll get the new hardware information because clearly they need it. I mean, they don't need it for sales per se, but I just think after a while, you're going to look like a Super Nintendo in a PS3 era. Like it's just going to be like that bad.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping that we get that information sometime this year, but this particular show, and I'm mainly talking about first party, it's just mid at best, man.
Well, let's see what they could do by the end of the year. And maybe they're improving or win you over, Patrick, and win us over. But, folks, this has been Gaming Times. That's all for this week. Goodbye. Farewell. If you have any questions for the podcast, please reach out to us at gamingtimes09@gmail.com. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me on Twitter at Isaac_IDK. And then, Patrick, where can the people find you?
You can email me at gamingtimespatrick@gmail.com. And you can find me on Twitter at Times Pat, and I just want to say that I hope you guys all enjoy the Super Bowl.
I want to thank everybody for listening.
And remember, enjoy gaming.